welcome back to Living on the Edge. This is your podcast for all things related to Kubernetes, developer tooling, API gateways, service mesh implementation, and more. Let's get into it.
All right. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Living on the Edge podcast. I'm your host, Kay James, and today we're joined by Guru Kamat, co-founder of Neurelo. How are you today?
Hi, Kay. Yeah, glad. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Why don't we start with a bit of a background of who you are and what you do?
Well, absolutely. So, yeah, I've been in tech for about 25 years now, been in various engineering and engineering leadership roles, been in a few different domains. Started with this domain called computer networking, where we were building products and platforms for layer 2 to 7 of what is known as a networking stack. So things like switches, routers, firewalls, NAT gateways, load balancers, and such. And then after about 15 years of doing that, moved over to computer security as a domain. Did a couple of startups. One was in the area of deception as a technique to catch bad guys. Other was around zero trust. And then spent a few years at Palo Alto Networks, building their cloud security division. Amazing experience. We had amazing traction. So kind of experienced scaling teams, scaling the product. Fantastic experience, like I said. And then spent some time with Stripe, where, again, I was a part of the security engineering team, building products to secure Stripe, Stripe's customers, Stripe data, and such. And now I'm building Neurelo, where we are a cloud data API platform, where we are making it easier and faster for developers to build, deploy, run, and scale their applications.
Nice. So Neurelo focuses a bit on like database side of things. What inspired you to go from kind of that security background towards databases and tackling that issue?
Yeah. I mean, what is interesting is throughout my career, what I've noticed is as developers kind of build, deploy, run, and scale their applications, I've seen that they've always spent an inordinate amount of time on all things to do with databases as they kind of do this, their work. And it has many different problems. I mean, like, let's say when the developers start to build an application, they have to pick a database to use for their application. So the first question is, hey, which database should we use? We know what application we want to build. We know the intent of the application, but which is the right database for this? Once they pick the database, they have to learn the nuances of the database, the schema language of the database, the query language of the database. They have to pick a particular framework or a library or a driver for the application that they want to use to build with the database. Once they have actually, let's say they start prototyping with the database, if they find that the choice of database was not ideal and they want to move to some other database, then they have to throw away all the work and then redo it all over again. Once they have built the application, they have to take it to production, which means they have to worry about things like monitoring and observability and how applications are actually working in production once they deploy them. Data starts coming in, queries start slowing down, you have time of day issues to deal with, day of week issues to deal with, noisy neighbor problems generally to deal with. So all kinds of these problems developers have to kind of face when they build, deploy, and run and scale their applications. And we kind of thought there obviously has to be a way to do better, right? I mean, in the last few years, everything has now become easier, faster for developers to build and work with. So why not work with databases? Why not working with databases? That's kind of what we set out to do at Neurelo. We have kind of built a database abstraction platform, which takes away all these complexities of working with databases and kind of really makes it simple for them to program with databases and build their applications. It makes it easier for them to understand how their applications are working with databases and then helps them accelerate, optimize, secure, extend the use of databases with their application. So that's kind of what we have set out to do. We really want to make it easier for developers and give them productive time back to work on better and more high-value tasks than all the boilerplate stuff and all the grunt work and all the unpredictability that comes with working with databases.
So what are some of the more specific pain points? Like what specifically does Narello do to, you know, tackle some of those challenges with dealing with databases?
Yeah, so the very first thing is going back to how developers program their applications, right, with databases. So typically they will choose a framework, right? They will choose like an ORM, or sometimes they do just use database drivers directly. And these come with a lot of complexities. They have to kind of wire them up. They have to set them up. There's a lot of learning curves that are involved for specific languages, specific ORM, specific databases. So what we want to do is simplify that entire journey. And to that end, we want to leverage this concept of APIs, which are very common. I mean, you see, for example, what Stripe has done with payments, right? Payments is a very complicated space for applications to accept payments from their inside them. It is very complex. There's a lot of kind of sausage making that goes into accepting payments. But Stripe APIs make it really simple. And all you do is call those APIs, and it handles all the heavy lifting around accepting payments. I'm sorry. Twilio did the same thing for communication. So it's very easy to now introduce messaging and communications and other stuff into your applications with Twilio APIs. And we want to bring the same notion to working with databases, right? We have this notion which we have introduced, which we call cloud data APIs, where we automatically generate purpose-built APIs for the data models and the schemas in the databases that developers want for their application. So they get these purpose-built APIs, standard APIs, and these are in the REST format or in the GraphQL format today. We plan to introduce more later, but these are the ones that we've started with. So independent of the programming language you're using, you could be using Python, Golang, Java, JavaScript, it doesn't matter. These are standard APIs you can just start using. And we kind of abstract away the databases as well. So all the complexities of whether you're using a Postgres database or a MySQL database or a NoSQL database like Mongo, all those are abstracted away. You don't have to worry about the SQL language complexities or learning the Mongo query language. Just work with APIs. You know your intent. Just call the APIs, get the responses in a standard format, and worry less about like how to work with the databases and just build your application. That's kind of what we have started with. It is enabling simplification of how applications can be built. And then the next steps are helping, giving them observability, telemetry, helping them understand how applications are working with databases, queries slowing down, giving them that visibility, helping them accelerate, optimize, things like that.
Yeah, so how has database programming changed in the past 20 or so years that you've been around?
Yeah, interestingly, it has not a whole lot, right? I mean, when I graduated out of school like 25 years back, the way kind of the focus was more on like the theory of how databases work, especially relational databases, all like theoretical stuff, like very, very important stuff, but theoretical stuff like CAP theorems and ACID compliance stuff. And there was some SQL programming taught, but the real world and the way that people build with applications is very different. And I think once engineers kind of start building applications, they realize that it's a lot more complex, right? There's a lot of different things that they have to think through, worry about. There is programming language specific nuances. There is database specific nuances. And that really has not changed. When I speak to people graduating out of college today, it seems like it's pretty much what was being taught as theory, but not a lot of the practical aspects that go into programming with databases. And to be honest, data today is like the key to most applications and user experiences, right? How data is stored, how data is structured, how data is retrieved really influences user experiences for the applications. And to that effect, arguably the choice of the database and how you work with the database is one of the most critical decisions that developers have to make when building an application. And we really wanted to like make it easier for them. I mean, today developers have to do all the heavy lifting around choosing a database, choosing the framework, and really with Narello, we're like, hey, this is an abstraction platform. The concept of APIs, the concept of abstraction is generally well understood. I think you've had quite a lot of podcasts where people have emphasized, like how powerful APIs are and how powerful abstractions generally are, and how they make it easier for developers to kind of build and extend their code. And we kind of want to leverage that concept and bring that to the world of databases and database programming as well.
Yeah. So how would you describe, right, introducing New Relic to like the development process? What would that really look like for a developer who's picking it up today? How would that improve their productivity in their life?
Yeah, so absolutely. I think so. Our goal, like I said, is really to make it easier, faster, better for developers to program against databases and to really give them time back to higher value tasks than they would otherwise do building all the boilerplate stuff that they have to do around databases. So today there are two ways developers can start with us. Let's say they already have a database. They already have some schema, some data models that they already have built within the database. So it just is a matter of connecting the database to New Relic. And what we do is we will introspect the schema and what developers have done and instantly give them these REST and GraphQL APIs that are purpose-built for the schema that they already have in the database. And by the way, these APIs are like version controlled. They come with a rich set of documentation around inputs, outputs, errors, what have you. So they can just like use these APIs from within their code. And most applications today already use a bunch of different APIs. They could be using authentication APIs, et cetera. So it's like simply extending what they use with what they do with APIs in general with programming with databases as well through New Relic. So that is one way where you have existing databases and existing schemas and data models within those databases. But one of the more common use cases with us today is also that, let's say you want to build a brand new application, right? A greenfield application. Then you can actually start with us. You can actually start building your schema with us. So we have a bunch of ways in which we actually help you build the schemas. We actually do normalized schemas, by the way, so you don't have to worry about the database nuances. We worry about how to translate them into the database specifics, but we give you a normalized representation of a data model or a schema, which is basically the structure of the data you intend to store and retrieve from a database. So you can actually build those schemas directly inside of New Relic. And then as you do that, again, we will help you with migrations, applying those schemas to the database. We will again give you the APIs that you can use from your code. And again, no learning curve involved. You don't have to worry about a particular ORM or a particular language framework that you have to deal with. These are standard APIs that developers are already familiar with how to use, and they can just start storing and retrieving the data from the database using New Relic.
What other productivity tips do you have or any best practices advice? Like, do you think that developer productivity should be a focus of like from the beginning when you're, you know, building your team and your product or whatever from the get, or is it something that comes along later?
Yeah, developer productivity in general is a subject I'm very passionate about. And yeah, I mean, like, you know, happy and highly productive developers are the key to success for any organization. And all of us engineering leaders kind of have a responsibility to build an environment where people can work at their natural best and are excited about their work, right? And interestingly enough, I mean, good developer productivity not only leads to like good product outcomes, but also helps you build an engineering culture and a brand, which kind of becomes a talent magnet for more and more strong developers to come and join your team. So lots of benefits to just having good productivity, developer productivity as a goal for any organization that you as leaders are in. What does developer productivity mean? Right? I mean, development generally is a highly collaborative, highly complex, kind of creative kind of work. And developer productivity is all about how do you increase efficiencies for your development team? How do you reduce friction? How do you reduce paper cuts? How do you reduce low value work and let kind of developers focus on a more intellectually stimulating work? How do you reduce interruptions that they have? How do you kind of give them more predictability around their day? and let them get into what is called flow state, right? Which is this zone where developers are highly focused and kind of do their best work. So developer productivity, I think, is very critical. There are, depending on the phase of the company, there is different emphasis, right? When the company is very young and very early, the focus usually is on proving themselves, right? The company has to establish themselves, build a product, find product market fit, find the right customer base. So the emphasis generally is on, let's get things done as quickly as we can. And there is less of an emphasis on like measurement, to be honest, in early stage companies. But as team scale, as product scale, I think more and more friction starts showing up, and more kind of the transactional costs of doing work for teams start increasing as teams and as products start scaling. So I think developer productivity and measurements and a focus on that becomes more and more important as it's always important, don't get me wrong, but it's more and more important as the company starts scaling really.
So from your perspective, what are some trends that you see emerging in the field of developer productivity, and how is New Relic like staying in line with those trends or trying to get ahead of it?
Yeah. So if you talk about trends in the industry, there are a couple of frameworks that are pretty popular for measuring developer productivity. One is this framework called DORA. It kind of started from Google. Well, it has been around, but I think it was kind of championed and evangelized by Google of late. It started with the DevOps realm. So DORA stands for DevOps Research and Assessment. And the main focus there is around like primarily velocity and quality of what the teams are building. So things like there are things like change lead time, which is how long does it take from when a developer starts working on something to when it is released to the users, to like deployment frequency, how often do teams release things into production for the users? And then there is like quality metrics, of all the changes that we released, how many did we have to roll back? It's called like change failure rates. Or how often do our systems go down, and how long does it take for us to recover from failures? So it kind of focuses on like the quantitative metrics around velocity and quality for productivity. But like we all know, I mean, those are probably not the only metrics to consider. I think it kind of misses on the human and the emotional and the kind of some of the other qualitative metrics around productivity. So there is another framework which has been getting traction of late. It's called the SPACE framework, where S stands for satisfaction and well-being. How happy and excited and engaged are really the developers who are working on your products? P stands for performance. A stands for activity. It's kind of similar to the DORA metrics around velocity and quality. And then you have communication and collaboration, and efficiency and flow. Sorry, one sec. Yeah, so these kind of frameworks really help kind of build the right metrics that a team need to have around measuring and around kind of improving their productivity. But I think it all starts with kind of having a good baseline, understanding where the teams stand, understanding where the pain points are. And I've generally found that the best kind of leaders and the best teams, they kind of have a good relationship between them. I mean, the teams understand that the leadership is well-intentioned behind this effort and really has the best intentions of developers in mind. So they really engage with the teams. They kind of talk to them. One-on-ones are really important with not just your direct team members, but also like skip levels, but basically getting a good understanding of what developers feel about what the challenges are, where the inefficiencies are, where the friction is, where are they spending a lot of their productive time and unproductive time, what is working well for them, what is not working well for them. And generally when these conversations happen, certain trends emerge, right? So you'll find out that, hey, most developers are saying that our build times are too long, or they're waiting for code reviews to happen and they take a very long time to happen, or there are too many meetings on their calendar, or there are too many interruptions that happen because of production outages, what have you. There's like these trends emerge, and then over time, you can actually build processes and tooling to really measure and then make incremental progress and gains towards reducing some of these inefficiencies and friction. One of the biggest things is developers really don't want to do like boilerplate stuff, low value work, right? They would rather focus on like high value work, which really kind of helps them build their applications. And New Relic kind of really is focused on that. Like I mentioned earlier, working with databases is kind of one of the biggest things that kind of developers have to do when building their applications. So during the initial part, right, all the kind of the things I keep mentioning about frameworks and database nuances and complexities, right? If you can reduce that, and that is kind of low value work, if you can really not have them focus on the database and how to work with databases and get them to really program and build their applications is, I think, a big win for developers. And that's kind of what New Relic is focusing on. And the other thing is during their journey of building, scaling, and running applications, most of the interruptions that come their way, the unpredictability that comes in their jobs, is again around databases, right? Queries slowing down, customers not happy, something has gone wrong, we have some regression around migrations, whatever. I think all these can be addressed by what we are trying to do at New Relic. And again, taking away these complexities and giving them productive time back is really our focus.
Mm-hmm. So I really like the kind of focus on the human aspect of it, you know, using how developers actually feel as a metric for success, I guess, right? What other key metrics do you think are there to ensure, like, you know, as you scale your team, that you guys are successful?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, I mean, there is a very high correlation between developer satisfaction and happiness with the product outcomes and how productive and happy and engaged they are. If you look at the work that developers do, right, generally it's categorized into two buckets. I mean, they're commonly known as the inner loop of work and the outer loop of work. So the inner loop of work is the work that they actually do towards building the product. So it's things like coding, building, testing, like that's like what they consider productive, and it's very engaging and intellectually stimulating. And that's kind of one set of work that developers commonly do. And then there is the other set of work called the outer loop of work, which is the work that they have to do to actually take things into production. So things like integrating what they have done into the product, releasing it, deploying it, monitoring how things are going in production, all the meetings that they have to actually do towards this, all the institutional transactional costs that they have to pay towards taking the work that they have done and getting that deployed and in production and running for the users. And there's a bunch of different metrics around all of these that can be leveraged. So if you look at coding, which is the inner loop activity that most developers enjoy doing. Again, going back to like how discoverable, the discoverability of the code, like how fragile is the code? How easily can they find different libraries and abstractions? How much boilerplate stuff do they have to do versus just leveraging what already exists and building on top of that? How much time do builds take? And how quickly can they build what they have done and test it out? How many unit tests do they have? Like, what is the confidence level they can build as they actually write new code? So there's a bunch of different metrics that can be kind of built around this. And the goal of any organization is really to increase the time that developers spend in this so-called inner loop and reduce the time that is spent on the outer loop. I think the general metric is some of the top companies try to have this be a 70-30, 75-25, 80-20 kind of a ratio where 70 to 80% of the time is spent on the inner loop and 20 to 30% of the time is spent on the outer loop. So the closer you can get to that, the better. Again, it all starts, like I said earlier, with kind of having conversations with developers, understanding their pain points, and then building like a holistic approach to measuring developer productivity around these quantitative metrics, around velocity, quality, as well as the qualitative and the human and emotional metrics that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, after hearing, you know, a bit of your story, it's clear that you've kind of had that whole spectrum, being developer, being like a leader management type of role. Now you're co-founding a whole company. So what are some of the, this is a kind of a broad general type of question. What are some of the most important lessons that you've learned through all of that? And what advice would you give to, you know, a normal developer type person like me?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been very blessed to have worked across a lot of different companies, small and large. I have had the opportunities to build products that have gotten amazing traction, scale teams, built scale products. And I think the importance of a strong foundation is one thing that keeps coming back into focus, right? If you want to scale a product, it is important that it has good, solid foundations. If the foundations are not ideal, then every time you try to scale, it's like one step forward, two steps backward. So the importance of a strong foundation is something that I've learned over time. The other is the focus on developer experience, not just like, or let's say user experience to begin with. Right, the products you build have to really delight your customer. They really have to enjoy using the products. It has to be simple, straightforward, and kind of self-explanatory and on how they should be used and how they can use them. And then internal developer experience really matters as well. I mean, if your teams are happy and productive and engaged, I think they'll do wonders. And then reliability of platforms is another thing that I've learned. Right? Any platform that you build, platforms like Stripe, Palo Alto Networks, they have to be highly available, highly reliable, so that people using those platforms have the confidence to kind of build their applications and deploy them for their work. So that's kind of something that I've really learned from a product point of view. And again, people, right? People are the most important asset that any company has. So understanding them, building good relationships with them, making sure that you have their back, lead with empathy and competence, I think for leaders is really, really important. For developers, I mean, the world is their oyster, right? I mean, developers are the key to kind of any successful company. And I think they should take every opportunity to learn. Kind of be always kind of challenging themselves to do better, to learn more, kind of be at the always operating at the edge of their current capabilities and always try to learn more and challenge themselves to learn new domains, new technologies, find better ways of doing things. This is kind of something that really helps developers, especially in the early stage. And then as kind of they progress through their career, I think giving it back, right, to help other developers kind of come up to speed, help them become better, share your knowledge, kind of becomes important as well.
Awesome. So before we wrap up, is there anything that you'd like to shout out, promote to our audience?
So, I mean, I would like to, again, do a shout out to what we are building at New Relo. I think we have built an amazing platform. We encourage developers to give us a try. We believe that it'll really make your life easier when you build applications. We have a free product. It's always free. You can just sign up and give it a try. You can find us at newrelo.com. And really, we love your feedback. We're just getting started. We know that it's a very complex space and there's a lot more that we have to do and we will be doing in the coming months and years. But we'd love your feedback on what we have built so far. And we are always there to kind of listen and help.
Awesome. And how can people, where can people reach you? Where can they find out more?
Yeah, so I think go to Nirello.com. I think you can sign up for our product there. We have our Discord server there as well. So you can always reach us out on our Discord server. If you have questions, if you need help, you can always email us at hello@Nirello.com as well. And like I said, I mean, just try us out, give us your feedback, and let us know if you like what we have built.
Awesome. Thank you, Guru, for chatting with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. That wraps up another episode of the Living on the Edge podcast.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you. Bye.